Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk sports with Evan and Tiki. Middays 10 to 2. WFAN. WFAN-FM. WFAN-FM HD1 New York. An Odyssey sports station.
Tommy Lou Gowerd. Start dart.
I love Tommy.
No biggie. Yeah,
dude's dog's damage.
I believe in positive Tommy.
Oh, I've been working nights.
They call me Tommy the Rationalizer.
We all know Tommy Lou Gowerd is a generational talent.
It's After Hours with Tommy Lou Gowerd on the Fan.
Say it, honey.
All right, let's go. Tommy Lou Gowerd. Loogie. Phone number to call is always 888-808-1019. Here's the bad news, Yankee fans. You lost three in a row. But here's the good news. You haven't lost three in a row in a month. The Rays are in a free-for-all. The Yankees are clearly head and shoulders the best team in the American League. And so far, through the first 3 months, there hasn't been any team that has stood up to the Yankees in the American League as a serious contender to present a roadblock for the Yankees in their quest to get to the World Series. I brought up the parallel between the Knicks and Yankees, and we'll get into a lot with the Knicks tonight about the draft, about free agency, about extending Carl Anthony Towns, the Giannis saga that still is hanging over the head of the NBA here. Hopefully that comes to an end before tomorrow night, which, believe it or not, is night one of the NBA draft. And listen, when you win the title, when you have a parade on Thursday, it feels like the offseason is here before you know it, and that's because it is. But there have been so many teams that have been waiting for night one of the draft for weeks, some for months, and some teams since, I don't know, opening night. But we'll get into all things basketball coming up. But as far as the Yankees, it's three losses in a row. You haven't lost three in a row in a month. The Rays, I mean, they lost to the Royals tonight. They have been playing bad baseball, 3-7 in their last 10, that is Tampa. And everything changed so dramatically. Memorial Day weekend, that Sunday walk-off home run by Aaron Judge. The Yankees since have been on the upward trajectory, and the Rays have been on the downward trajectory since that walk-off home run. Even with this three-game losing streak, the Yankees are still headed in the right direction, and the Rays are headed in the wrong direction. And we're still sort of waiting for a team to step up and be that contender for the Yankees. Ultimately, I think it'll be Seattle and Toronto. But neither one of those teams have played inspiring baseball throughout the year. They're both sort of around 500, and neither one of them have taken a leap like they did last year when they both represented the final two teams in the American League for a chance to go to the World Series. Now, if we were to pick apart this game, and it's something that I've talked about before here on After Hours, and you're still not hitting the cutoff, man. Now, that's something I'd like you to work on in the offseason. She's crying, sir. I don't know if Aaron Boone is saying anything to these players. I don't know if Brian Cashman has said anything. I don't know if they need to send me in there or if they have to send Alec Baldwin in there to tell them that coffee's for closers. But the bottom line is, when it comes to the challenge system, you can't, under any circumstances, be out of challenges late in the game. And the Yankees were. By the sixth inning, the Yankees had used up all their challenges. And the culprit, and he's been a main culprit of this throughout the year, or at least since he's been healthy, is Anthony Volpe. And the Yankees lost this game. Now, they may not have won the game if they had a challenge, but they at the very least could have extended the game if they had a challenge, because the game ended on a pitch that was clearly not a strike, and if the Yankees had had a challenge, the game would have extended. I've said this once, I've said it a million times, play, and I know it's the first year doing this, but we're now a couple of months in. You should have the hang of it by now. And if not, the manager, the organization, needs to drill this into the head of their players, and that is, you want to have a challenge in your back pocket late in the game. So early on, don't use a challenge. Your first couple innings, bar, you know, there's 1% of scenarios that I would use a challenge. Let's say your ace is on the mound. He's in big trouble. He looks like he might be on the ropes here early in the game. If the catcher wants to use a challenge to get him out of the inning, because aces settle down usually after that first inning and you get him out of trouble, and perhaps that ace gives you 7-8 strong innings and that'll get you a W. That's an opportunity to use it. Or if it can walk in a run and you're one of the best players on the team and you trust that player in that situation. But that's about it. I really wouldn't want to use a challenge early in the game, first couple innings. As far as the middle innings, it depends. If you only have one challenge left, then I would be very, 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 very selective. And you better be 110% sure you're going to get it right. Which a lot of times, especially with Volpe, that hasn't been the case. Jazz is another repeat offender. It's not the reason the Yankees lost the game tonight. Gerrit Cole not having it certainly is part of it. Framber Valdez being, you know, pretty much lights out certainly helps the Tigers. But in terms of these challenges, you've seen it over and over and over again. Using them up early and not having one late in the game is often something that comes back and bites you in the behind. And it's just something that, now this is just not just the Yankees. This is across the board. This goes for every team you can think of in baseball. You got to be smarter about this. The challenge system, the ABS, is there for you to be an asset, you know, a weapon, something that can help you win. And the last thing you want is to use it up, like your parents give you $20 for the ice cream man, and you really could just spend $10 and save the $10 for the ice cream man the next day. But instead, you see a pretty girl, you decide to buy her ice cream. Next thing you know, you spend $30 and you got to run inside and ask mom and dad for $10 more. And they're like, well, I gave you $20. Well, you know, Susie down the block, I bought her. What was those ice cream cones with the mitten with the baseball that was a gum? Didn't they have a name? Forgot what the name was. Or a firecracker ice cream cone? Rosenberg's out this lunch here. He must have money on the World Cup here because I'm bringing up ice cream and he's not answering me. But they got the firecracker. He must have had Sweden. The ice cream man would come around and he'd have the baseball mitt, Rosie, with the baseball in the middle of it. Was there a particular name for that?
It looks like the Brewers logo.
Yeah, no, I know what it looked like, but was there a name for it? Because when you ordered it, there had to be a name. You wouldn't just say, I want the ice cream cone. So if with the baseball mitt, with the gum of the baseball in the middle. So if it has a name, I'd love to know what the name is, because I forgot. And then what's the firecracker one? The red, white, and blue one. That's timely.
It's the firecracker.
Is that really what it's called?
It's the firecracker or the bomb pop.
Yeah, the bomb pop. So either one of those, you know, Susie down the block, she wanted one, so I spent $20. 25 on us, so I need another $5. And that's basically what it's like using your challenges up early. Do we have a name for it?
The Bubble Play Ice Cream
the
Bar.
The Bubble Play Ice Cream Bar. It would get all over your lips. Half of it would melt down your arm. You couldn't wait to eat the gum. Now, if you were greedy, you would eat the gum right out of the gate. You got to take the gum off the ice cream, hold it in your hand, then eat the ice cream, and then at the end, eat the bubble gum. What is it one more time? What was the name of it?
The Bubble Play Ice Pop, because it was cherry ice, not an ice cream. So, important distinction there.
Yeah, did I say ice cream? I meant
ice. You meant the ice cream truck.
Yeah, ice cream truck, but it's a cherry ice, not an actual ice cream. And none of those were actually ice cream. Yeah, you could get ice cream, but the, I guess, artificial flavor, ice things, icicles, whatever you want to call them, which was, all, of course, the firecracker as well.
Icicles.
I think that's what they were called. Artificial flavored. I don't know if they really have a technical term other than the ice cream man came and you'd get more of the sugary ones, the ones that had fun colors and themes, I guess, attached to them. Or you would just be boring, like I would be sometimes, and you would just get vanilla ice cream with Rainbow Sprinkles. What's that stupid name that people call sprinkles when they don't call them sprinkles?
Jimmy's.
Jimmy's. What? Come on. What a chooch. Who the heck calls them that? I have heard people call it that. It's sprinkles. Let's be real.
I agree. I'm not going to fight you on that. I actually agree with you 100%.
Yeah, and I understand people now call hot dogs glizzies, which, listen, you could do whatever you want and say whatever you want, but the Jimmy's for the sprinkles is just something that I can't get down with, but I would go vanilla ice cream with the rainbow sprinkles. I don't like these people that double up on the chocolate. They go chocolate ice cream with the chocolate sprinkles. Eh, it's just not my game. It's not my bag. But I go vanilla. I still do. I'm like a six-year-old. I go vanilla ice cream with the rainbow sprinkles. Or I go with the, what's the baseball mitt called again with the gum?
The bubble play.
The bubble play.
Two other ones that were wonderful. Yeah. The Flintstones push-up
yes!
pop.
Yes!
Which
yes!
is like very, very
yes,
good.
Yes, it was!
And the screwball, which essentially.
Wouldn't that be the baseball too?
Is the same thing, but just in like a twisty container. Because
really?
It's cherry ice with the bubble gum at the bottom.
Oh, I'm going to have to look that up in the break, because when you say it and when you describe it, I can reminisce and remember it, but I can't visualize it in my brain.
And for reference, you're not thinking of an icicle. It's a popsicle.
Popsicle, that was the word. We got there eventually. I get a little bot sometimes in the brain. Popsicle, but the Flintstone one. Oh, man, that was a phenomenal one. Yeah, that's memory lane right there. Do they still have these things? I mean, I know they still have the ice cream man and they still have Mr. Softy, but I wonder
right.
if these
I don't
items
know
are still
if they
available.
Still have the Flintstones push up, a Choco Taco.
Mm.
Remember the wrestling ice pops?
Oh, yes! Yes!
The Undertaker.
That's right. The Rockers, you know, and a Papa Shango.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, the wrestling one. Now that, because it was almost like an ice cream sandwich on the stick. Boy, am I. Did you bring my dynamite brownies? What are they called? What's the brownies, Yomi?
The cosmic brownies.
Cosmic brownies. Did you bring them yet?
That's tomorrow.
But you didn't bring them tonight.
Though. I didn't bring them tonight. I'll bring them tomorrow. But guaranteed, I promise.
This has been probably 2 months that I've been asking for them.
It might have been longer. I promise tomorrow.
Okay. Well, your promises mean nothing here because your promises are hollow. What I need from you is to bring it in. But is there any way to get the wrestling ones? For the ice cream, do they sell those? Can you get them on like Amazon? If they that one, I would really love to have.
See, the
forget the brownies, forget the cosmic brownies. It's coming when? Can we get the ice cream for the wrestler ones?
I think
the
they have new ice cream. Like you don't want the old ones, right?
No, I don't want like Roman Reigns or Bailey. I want
no, but you don't want ones that were
Ripley.
Made 30 years ago.
No, not made 30 years ago, but I would like a modern one, but with the older generation of wrestlers.
I don't know if they have that. You have to talk to Vince or not Vince anymore, but you have to Triple H and Nick Khan.
I don't need
that.
To talk to. Tony Khan. I don't need to call it Nick Khan or Tony Khan or Triple H or any of the wrestling promoters. You can't get me an ice. I need to talk to the ice cream man. Give me Mr. Softy on the line. He's the one that provides it for me. They would sell it back channel. I don't need to go to Greenwich, Connecticut.
Here we go.
Yeah.
If there are any Mr. Softy drivers listening to Tommy's voice in my
no,
voice,
no, 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 no,
give
no,
me
no,
a
no,
call.
No, they're not delivering it. We're not doing that. No.
And just have them deliver
no,
come to the station.
That. We're not doing that. See, that's something we don't do here. We're not going to use these ice cream men like they're ice cream mules, and they're going to just bring us free stuff. That's not what we're going to do.
Bad?
I just want to have information of whether or not it exists. If it exists, then you, Rosenberg, will be my mule, and you will, because you promised me these other brownies, cosmic brownies, for 2 months. You were unable to deliver on that promise for several weeks. Really, like I said, going on 2 months. Now your new mission is to get these, and we got to get the name for it as well. The wrestling pops with the old, like the Rockers were on there.
I think they were just called like the wrestling bars, the superstars of wrestling, like the old.
Tito Santana. Ooh, yeah, Macho Man, yeah, ice cream queen.
The model Rick Martel on there.
The model Rick, arrogance is what he sprayed in the eye. And then he had the blindfold match with Jake Roberts. A snake. How many senses does a human have?
He's blindfolding Damien.
No, but how many senses does a... We'll get back to sports. How many senses does a human have? We have 6 senses?
5.
5. But a snake
can you
has
name them?
6. And we always do it better in the dark. Can I name them? No. Taste, smell, touch, looking, hearing. Am I there? Did I get there?
Taste
smell
touch, sight.
Sight, sound.
Sound.
That's fine.
Yeah, you got there.
So a human has 5, but a snake has 6, and we always do it better in the dark. And Bobby Heenan was unbelievable in the commentary there. Oh, just incredible. He's over there, Rick. He's over there. and Gorilla would be all over him. He's like, you can't help him out. He's like, Jake the Snake has got 30,000 humanoids screaming where the model is. I can say where Jake is. Where was I with all this? Oh, yes. Get me the wrestling ice cream popsicles. Thanks, Rosie. Now, as far as the Yankees, I don't think this is a... This is what you...
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get here on After Hours, by the way. When we go off topic, we go off topic. It's okay. We always bring it back. And what's better than baseball and ice cream and wrestling? I'm sorry. These are really all the basic food groups. One thing over the last couple of years that has been a bugaboo for the Yankees, and let me be clear before I make a statement here, I think the Yankees are the best team in the American League. I think they're going to the World Series. I don't see, unless something changes over the next couple of months, but so far, I don't see anybody that has emerged as a serious contender to stop the Yankees from getting to the World Series, much like I saw with the Knicks getting to the finals. I didn't see anybody in the Eastern Conference that would be a threat, despite the year that Detroit had, despite the year that the Pistons had against the Knicks in the regular season. I wasn't buying the Celtics. I wasn't buying anybody, really. Cleveland, the spineless, gutless, heartless Cavs, wasn't buying them either. So I thought it was always the Knicks, you know, bare minimum to get the finals, and I feel the same way with the Yankees. Bare minimum, you got to get to the World Series, and I believe they will. But since we're on every day, and since baseball is really like a relationship, it's a marriage, it's night in and night out, one of the things that has been an issue for Aaron Boone managed teams over the last couple of years is the June swoon. Now, to start off June, they were doing great, the Yankees. And now here at the latter part, they have lost three in a row. I think it's more just a losing streak. I don't think they're going to end June on a poor note. I don't think they're going to go out on a low note. I don't think this is the sort of a June swoon, but a little bit delayed, and maybe it even bleeds into July. I don't foresee that. I really don't. I just think this is a little bit of a bump in the road for the Yankees in what will ultimately be a big-time summer where they win the division, because the Rays, to me, have let go of the rope. They played over their heads the first couple months. They're showing what they are now, which is a good team, not a great team. Not a team that I think can compete with the Yankees for a division. The team that could is Toronto, but they haven't been able to get out of their own way, and they've had a bunch of injuries, and they're still trying to figure out a way to find 500 and get over 500. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Okay. That is the sound effect for breaking news here on After Hours. My guess is Giannis has been traded.
He is not, but it is an NBA trade with local ties and many local ties.
Okay, so Giannis is... We're still waiting for Giannis to get traded. All right, so Giannis is still a Buck, but there is a trade in the NBA with a lot of local ties.
Yes.
Go ahead.
The Brooklyn Nets are acquiring Minnesota's number one draft pick, which is number 28.
Okay.
And Julius Randle.
Really?
In a trade that sends Nick Claxton to the Bulls as well. So the Timberwolves are acquiring Brooklyn's 33 for Randle and number 28. So Julius Randle
comes home, except now to Brooklyn.
To the Brooklyn Nets.
How bizarre is that? Julius Randle. And I couldn't help but think about Julius and Dante and all these guys that weren't a part of this actual championship run. And now Julius Randle back in New York with the Nets. Look, I've always liked Julius. I thought at times he got a bad rap here with the Knicks. I appreciated the fact that he wanted to be a Knick. He came here, and it's unfortunate that he wasn't able to be a part of this championship run, but it was a necessary evil to trade him to Minnesota in order to acquire Karl Anthony Towns. But now Julius Randle is a member of the Nets. I mean, good for him. I mean, and good for the Nets. I mean, Julius is a guy that could fill up the box score. He could play. He gives you that bully ball. It's a good move for the Nets. I'm happy that Julius gets to come back to New York. I'm sure he'd rather be on the Knicks than the Nets. But there you go. The Nets making moves here before, and they're picking what, six? They're picking in the top 10 for sure.
Yes, they are, and now they have number 28. The weird part
is 28 and Julius Randle, and I'd have to think about this a little bit harder to see if they would flip Julius for something else, or if Julius, and I have to look at his contract, if Randle's actually going to stick around with the Nets. This could be a situation where they move Julius somewhere else, and he's just kind of waiting here with the Nets, and he ends up at another location. But the Nets now have two first-round picks and Julius Randle, and we'll see what else they do here as they try to dig out of the abyss that they're in.
Well, you have Randle and Michael Porter Jr. and a whole bunch of young guys. So I would think you have to pick a lane here.
Yeah.
Because you just gave up on Nick Claxton, who, as a Bulls fan, I'm thrilled that he's going to Chicago.
Yeah,
but
for sure. And Claxton, look, who knows what the Nets are really going to look like when they're ready to compete. They're still years and years away from actually being a team that is a serious playoff contender. But Julius Randle, if he sticks around, is a player that can help you. He could score the basketball. He could rebound. He could facilitate. He could fill up the box score. He's been around the block. He has experience. He has playoff experience. He could give you bully ball, all those things, veteran presence in the locker room for a young team. So I've always liked Julius Randle. I was sad to see him go with the Knicks. I'm happy to see him back in New York, albeit with the Brooklyn Nets. But, you know, by my first account of this, good trade, and we'll see what the Nets do after this, of whether or not this is just holding Julius to trade him or whether they keep him. But Julius Randle, as far as long-term answer, when the Nets are ready to win, is not that answer for them. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. All right, we were going to take your calls there, but we got sidetracked a little bit by the ice cream and the breaking basketball news here. We'll get to your calls if you're on hold right now. Coming up, we'll bring the Knicks into the conversation as well. The Mets rained out, so we'll mix in a little Mets as well, but more Knicks and why I think the Leon Rose and upper management should extend Karl-Anthony Towns. A couple guys I'm looking at as far as college players, prospects now entering the draft, first round being tomorrow night, that I would like to see the Knicks draft. So there's plenty of things on the table, including Julius Randle, now a member of the Nets. We're monitoring the Giannis situation as well. Could he be a Celtic or a Miami Heat by the end of the night? We'll keep you posted on that. 888-808-1019. It is After Hours. Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan. 1028 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer.
You and I need to have a three-way.
Lugie! Speaking of three-ways, there has been a three-way trade here in the NBA. Yeah, unfortunately. I know. I know where your brain went, and I wish my brain went there as well. But we are talking sports here. We are talking basketball. And there is a three-way trade that just went down in the NBA. And here are the details. The Minnesota Timberwolves are sending a familiar face here. And no stranger to New York, Julius Randle. And no, not back to the Knicks. That'd be something. Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo back on the Knicks. But that is not, in fact, the case. But Julius Randle is headed back to New York, but not New York City, not Manhattan. He is headed to Brooklyn, and he is bringing the number 28 overall pick in the draft with him. The Nets acquire both of those acquisitions, and they're trading Nick Claxton to the Bulls. The T-Wolves will acquire Brooklyn's number 33 pick for Randle and the 28th. So there you go. Three-way trade. Claxton gone. He goes to Chi-Town. Julius Randle, sort of a homecoming back in New York, this time with the Nets. The Nets get the 28th overall pick, and they ship the 33rd overall pick over to Minnesota. So a three-way trade here, and it's not the trade we all thought we were going to hear tonight. I figured when Rosenberg played the soundbite there, or the sound drop for breaking news, I thought it would be Giannis. Because I, for one, am just sick and tired of hearing about it. And I just want him to land on either Miami or Boston or OKC or wherever, and certainly not the Knicks, but wherever Giannis ends up here among those three teams, or I suppose a wild card team, a surprise team could come out of nowhere. Heck, it wouldn't shock me if the Nets would have traded for Giannis, but instead they traded for Julius Randle. But the draft is tomorrow night, and I know it feels like it's out of nowhere because the Knicks just finished up their season. They won a championship. We had the parade on Thursday. But there's been a lot of teams waiting weeks for this, months for this. And teams like the Nets and others have been waiting since opening night for the draft. And they'll get their opportunity tomorrow night to hopefully improve their franchises. The Knicks have three picks. They are set up. And now, look, the Knicks could trade some of these. It's possible. But they own the 24th, 31st, and 55th overall pick. It's possible they trade one of those picks back, the Knicks do, and Leon Rose, to acquire future picks because they gave up all those, you know, F them picks for Mikal Bridges. That's on the table. But I think there's a lot of interesting players, and I'll bring up a few that I would like to see the Knicks draft in those spots that I think fit the culture, the DNA, the winning DNA that this team has created with the Villanova crew, with Karl Anthony Towns, Ananobi, etc. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Yankees have lost three in a row. I don't think this is part of a start of an end June swoon, so to speak. I think it's just a little bit of a bump in the road. Although with the challenges, I brought this up a million times, the Yankees were left without any challenges in the ninth inning. They certainly could have used it there in that final at bat. Volpe, the culprit in the sixth inning, to use the final challenge. I'm a big proponent of having a challenge in the back pocket in the final couple of innings because that's when you need it the most. That's when the Yankees, they might not have won the game, but they certainly could have extended the game had they had a challenge. Let's go to Sean in Old Bridge is on After Hours. What's up, Sean?
Loogie!
What's going on?
I'm doing all right. And yeah, I agree with the Yankee game. It was just like, I kind of wish they kept their challenges regardless because, you know, because like you did say earlier in your opener that they're very important and they are like a, like an asset to the game. And like, if you use them, like all, like use them up, then it, what's the point? And like, if like now using them, if you don't have them,
you want to use them in critical spots. You don't want to use it in the second inning, third inning, even the sixth inning. You want to have one. Now, if you want to go sixth inning, you better have at least two challenges there. You got to better have both your challenges. When it comes to only having one in the sixth inning, that's a point where I would, it'd have to be like a monumental part of the game where it feels like if it tips in your advantage, you're going to win. But that wasn't the case on the Volpe challenge, and certainly the Yankees would have been. It would have been advantageous for them to have a challenge in the ninth inning tonight.
Yeah, I think so too. And now I wanted to bring up something about the draft really quick because this was interesting. I'm really curious to see like how this pans out because there's a lot of like good, like in the just draft class, a lot of good candidates out there. So this is going to be interesting to see how it pans out for like the two nighter. I know I'm not sure if I've seen it be tonight because it's always had two rounds in one night. So this can be interesting how.
Yeah, it's,
be,
a, like, it's a first round. It's tomorrow night, and then obviously second round is Wednesday night.
Yeah, it's gonna be a crazy night. It's gonna be a crazy day for me too. Like not only that, I got a graduation to go to, which is.
Graduation during the week? I thought all those were on the weekend. They have a graduation during the week.
Yeah, they usually have it, it's for the high schools, so okay. They have it, like, on, usually, like, around mid to late June they have that, so it is my sister's high school graduation.
Well,
so
congratulations to your sister.
I appreciate that, thank you. I remember mine, too, so, it kind of is, like, surreal, so it's kind of very
special.
Yeah,
when you graduate, and I appreciate the call as always, but when you graduate high school, it's kind of the closing of a chapter, because these are the, you know, your friends and classmates that you've been around, some of them since kindergarten, some of them since preschool, and some since middle school. But it's a long journey with those friends and classmates, and it culminates with high school ending. And for some people, they don't even know which way to turn because that sort of bubble that they lived in, and this is not a knock on anybody, it's just some people, this is just the life they create at that point. Their world is rocked because they don't know what to do. And for others, they're giddy because, like, all right, I got to get away from this town and this area and I can go start anew and go away to college, which, listen, it's not the best years of your life, college, although some people want to prop it up like it is, but it is certainly the most freeing and the least amount of responsibility, that's for sure. I mean, where else would you be within, you know, a couple of minutes walk of that many girls and you're a single dude away at college? And you have to go to like 12 hours of class per week. So you certainly have a lot of free time. I mean, you can major in beer pong with a minor in flip cup. So it's certainly a very fun, very freeing, low responsibility time in your life. But I still think the best years are to come after college. That's for sure. But college is a very unique experience, and I highly recommend anybody out there that just graduated high school, by the way, congratulations. If you haven't made the decision already, I highly recommend going away to college. It is something that everybody should experience, and I don't want to, you know, finances to the side. You could always get student loans, things of that nature. But it is absolutely something that everybody should experience.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before, and that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Because it's a lot of fun. It's great for your growth and learning. You make new friends, and you have a lot of fun doing it. So I would highly recommend it. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Moose is in Jamaica here on After Hours. What's up, Moose?
La, 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 Loogie.
What's happening?
I hope you're having a pleasant Loogie evening.
Yes, hopefully you are as well, and everybody listening is having a very pleasant Loogie evening here on a Monday evening.
On this four-hour lasagna of a show.
That's right.
Yes. So because of the breaking news, I was just originally going to talk Yankees, but I have a couple words on the Brooklyn Nets trade, a little bit of irony, and I could sprinkle in my suggestion for Leon Rose and Dolan on how to maybe stay under the second
apron
threshold.
Yeah.
So I'll try to make it quick. Mm-hmm. Quickly on Brooklyn. I remember in 2021 when the Nets were high and the Knicks were coming up, that watching post game on SportsCenter, not to shout out the other company, that Julius Randle's son was crying to his father saying, "I hate the Brooklyn Nets," and now he's a Brooklyn Net. So that's a funny thing. But welcome to the team. If you stay long enough and you're not a ploy to trade for Giannis, all things considered, welcome to the team.
Yeah, look, it's great to see Julius back in the tri-state area. As a Knicks fan, I always had a soft spot for Julius because at a time where nobody really wanted to be a Knick, hard worker, really talented player. You know, the good thing about Julius and the unique thing about Julius is, you know, guys that kind of go down the path of Julius, where, remember, he had that bad year where he's getting into it with some of the fans and wasn't always in the huddles, and then the Knicks had a bad year. Julius was able to recover from that and thrive off of that. A lot of people, when you get in that situation in New York, you don't recover from that, and that's the end of you as far as your reputation. Julius was able to rehab his image, and I think a lot of Knicks fans, when he left, were sad to see him go, but it was a necessary thing to bring in Karl Anthony Towns, and now Julius has had success in Minnesota, and he finds his way back in New York, but this time with the Nets.
The whole entire second half of the season in, what, 2022 or 2023 with a broken shoulder. Crazy.
Yeah, certainly a tough guy. Yeah, that cheap shot for sure against the Heat. No doubt about it.
Yeah, to talk about the Yankees real quick. What I've noticed since 2021, we were 6 or 7 or 8 games back at the start of June, played the rest season above .660 baseball, just made the wild card. But starting from 2022, what I've noticed that around the summer solstice, there's something that happens in the air. The universe never unconnects. We play around 500 to sub-500 baseball till the All-Star break. Since the All-Star break to about August, right, we played 500 to 550 baseball.
The last couple of years, that's
August
been the case.
And September,
yep.
And in August and September, we play almost 700 baseball and shut the door.
Yep, you flex your muscles.
I don't know what it is. That's my theory.
I don't either.
It's like clockwork.
Yeah, it's certainly based in fact. The real root of it is why. I don't have an answer. Perhaps it's because the Yankees seemingly always get off to great starts. They have this swoon, loom, whatever it is, and then they get hot again. Maybe just because they're good every year, they kind of go through the motions in the middle of the season. I don't know. But bottom line is they always get right and they find their way into October. And then from there, that's where the season is really determined to either be a success or not.
Obviously. And quickly on the Knicks, for Dolan and Leon Rose, it's pick your poison. Like, quickly. If you want to stay under the second apron, I find Mitch to be the defensive eraser that's indispensable. When Towns sits or when Towns is playing with him, he covers up for Towns' mistakes and also allows Jalen Brunson to be that defensive player who's not so focused on guarding his man, because Mitch can switch from 1 through 5. Right? So I think Mitch is more indispensable. Now, Deuce could get 20 a game on any other team if he starts playing 35 minutes a game. You might have to let him go. Shamit, with shooting almost 75% from 3 in the postseason, he's getting paid, almost no chance to keep him. So Clarkson is going to have to replace him, have the point guard that you drafted a couple of years ago.
Tyler Colic.
And obviously Alvarado is the wild card. He might get certain offers from teams, but I think with the bird rights and the certain contract situation, they have time to work on that. And that's what you kind of have to do to repeat. You kind of have to give and take. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, of course. I appreciate you making it, Moose. Yeah, speaking of Jose Alvarado, there was some news about him today. And Jose Alvarado agreed to move the decision date on his $4.5 million player option from tomorrow, which would be Tuesday, to June 26th, which is obviously after the draft. So it gives Jose a little bit of time to think about it. It gets the Knicks the opportunity to see what's going on in the draft, and then ultimately the decision will be made later in the week. You talk about the Knicks offseason, the dreaded second apron. It was something that James Dolan brought up on this radio station on the Carton Show, and it obviously upset a bunch of people. I think the timing of it wasn't the best, you know, the night before the parade, so I understand frustration from that point of view. But here's the thing about the dreaded second apron. The Knicks are in a position where, now, I'll say this. Dolan said this after meeting with Leon Rose. So it's possible that Leon and Dolan have already agreed that this team is not going to the second apron. I hope they reconsider that if this is the case, because the Knicks are in a situation where they can go to the second apron because it's about retaining their players. It's not about bringing in other players. This group has certainly earned the right to run it back. We got the news today that Mo Diawara, he's not going anywhere. He's sticking around, and thankfully, young player with 20 years old, showed a lot of promise in his rookie year. Thought he'd be a very hot commodity here in the offseason. So I'm happy that the Knicks are bringing him back, and Mo wanted to stay here in New York because he could certainly play a major role with this team next year, especially if some of the names you just mentioned are no longer here. But the Knicks are in a position where they can go to the second apron, and I think the restrictions and handcuffs that exist for the second apron don't really exist for a champion, the team that's coming off winning the chip. If you got knocked out in the first, second round, yes, it's something that can cripple you. Not a champion, though. Not the reigning champs. And you can also get out of the second apron. Once you get into the second apron, it's not like you're there for life. It's not like you're in this little black book and there's only two names in there and one of them is still Al Capone. I mean, you can get out of the book. You can get out of the second apron. And I think the Knicks should go into the second apron. It's just remains to be seen if they will. And the more I think about it, the fact that Dolan said that on this radio station while admitting he's already met with Leon Rose, it is certainly possible that the two of them have already discussed this. It's already been levied out that they're not going to the second apron, and Leon Rose either agrees or he doesn't strongly disagree enough to push back to the point where Dolan would change his mind. But we're ultimately going to find out. And in Leon, we trust. And if the Knicks don't go to the second apron and they don't run it back and Shamit's on a new team and Mitch is on a new team, you certainly have guys like Kolick and Dottier and Diawara. And you have 3 picks here in the draft. Even if they trade one of the picks, you'd have 2 picks. So whomever the Knicks select, and I'll give you some names that I would like to see coming up tonight here before we get off the air at 2 a.m. Leon Rose has earned the trust of every Knicks fan. So no matter what they do this offseason, even if I or we or some of us disagree with it, I think we just got to sit back and trust Leon Rose, the architect of this team, who has built a champion brick by brick. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie here in the late night. We'll get back to your calls on the Knicks, Yankees. Is this a June swoon? even though it's the back end of June for the Yankees, this is their mid-summer or mid-season lull that they're about to enter. Carl Anthony Towns, I'd love to see him take a hometown discount and extend his contract with the Knicks. We'll break that down in depth coming up as well. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Lugie in the Late Night. Tommy Lugauer here on the 10:51 here on the Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer.
Paul Rosenberg, the legend.
Lugie, 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. You know, I'm glad that you played that drop back there, Handsome, because I've been waiting to get a piece of your you-know-what now for a few days here. And, of course, I'm talking about Rosenberg, everybody's, what do we even call it, charity case around here. And everybody just
You're
feels...
my best friend.
Yeah, sure. Everybody, yeah, that was me after a four-hour, five-hour shift. I was basically punk drunk on the air, or punch drunk, I should say. I might be punch drunk right now, just having done, 57,000 shows over the last 8 days. But here's why I have beef with Rosenberg.
Way to go, Paulie.
Yeah. Thursday was a very, very, very special day here in New York City. A very special day for me, very special day for my fellow Knicks fans, very special day for the Knicks, the organization, everybody involved. And we here at WFAN, the standard, the gold standard for sports talk radio, people come to WFAN for parade coverage. Evan and Tiki and Lugie live from City Hall. Rosenberg, of course, was back here at the shop, and Paulie was doing his typical fear-mongering because he didn't say it on the air. He had Maras do his bidding for him, which is there are tornado warnings in effect near the parade, which was fear-mongering. It was said on the air to create chaos, to create worry, to create fear. And as usual, Paul Rosenberg, who was the man behind the scenes pulling the strings on Maras, which most people do for Sean. You put a quarter in and he'll do whatever you want. Paulie skips the podium after that. There was no tornado. There was no rain. So what do you have to say for yourself, Rosenberg?
Okay, first thing is I did not tell Sean about that. Frankly, I didn't see the tornado warning. I don't even know if we had one. So that, because I checked immediately and I didn't see one. Now, Sean said it was north and west.
You're suggesting that Sean was talking out of his ass, which he's known to do. And he's
he might have been.
I love the guy, but he's fully
I didn't see the warning specifically.
Okay.
Now, I saw there was some high winds in the area. That was clear. There was some rain in the area. That was clear. It rained that morning.
There was definitely rain in the area. We discussed that leading into the parade here on After Hours. You had prognosticated that or predicted that there was potential for humidity, hot, which it wasn't really that bad, and some rain.
Yeah, and I was right.
No, you weren't. There was
it rained.
When?
It rained in the morning.
What morning?
This Thursday morning.
No, it didn't. Yes, I was there. I was outside at 6 a.m. It didn't rain. When did it rain?
Absolutely.
It absolutely did not rain. Did not rain during the parade.
I didn't say it was going to rain during the parade. I said it was going to rain Thursday.
What the hell do I care if it rains at 5 in the morning? Did it rain during the parade or not?
That you didn't ask me that.
Yes, I... When I was asking for a weather report going into Thursday, I don't care about 4 in the morning when Evan's the only person sitting at City Hall. I cared when the rest of us normal humans were there at 9 a.m. or 8 a.m. or 6 a.m. What do you have to say for yourself about this tornado warning?
I told you
Why didn't you step in then if it was BS? Why didn't you, as the weather guy around here, as the so-called glue guy, if you know Sean is talking out of his rear end and he's just trying to be a jerk, why didn't you step in and say something?
I don't think Sean wanted to be a jerk. I think he honestly saw that. I don't think he made it. I think he's legitimately saw, we got cows on Twitter.
So Maras's intentions notwithstanding, you as the weather guy, why didn't you step in and say, Sean, I'm checking out my European models. And by the way, when I think European models, I don't think weather, but Rosenberg certainly does. If I'm looking at European models, it's long legs. It's not thunderstorms. But why didn't you just step in and say, hey, Sean, I'm the weather guy here. I'm the glue guy. I don't see any tornado warnings. Why didn't you do that?
It was...
Wait, it was what?
It was above my pay grade.
No, it was not above you. Nothing's above your pay grade. You have no problem jamming your way into a conversation. So, were you not paying attention?
Not that one. They're talking about the... They're live at City Hall. There's a lot of moving parts.
There's no moving parts.
There's a ton of moving parts.
There's no moving parts. Not back here. There's no moving parts back at the shop. It's just you and Sean staring at each other for 4 hours. So when he spoke about a tornado, why didn't you step in?
I can't go against my guy. I'm a foxhole guy.
All this time, I thought you were the one feeding him that because you're a fearmonger.
I'm not a fearmonger.
Well, this is even worse.
I'm a truth teller.
No, you're not a truth teller. You're
hashtag realistic Rosie.
You're not paying attention at
realistic
all.
Realistic Rosie.
So not only do you not pay attention during my shows, you don't pay attention during the midday
Wait,
shows.
I paid attention.
Well,
I just
why
told
didn't you,
you
say anything?
Because I didn't think it was necessary.
You didn't think it was necessary when Sean said there might be a tornado that
he didn't say there might be a tornado. He said there was a tornado warning,
okay,
which is not a tornado watch.
Got it.
Warning means it could happen. Watch means it's actually
do we
going
wake up, look, Paul,
to happen.
Do we wake up every day with tornado warnings? Probably not, right? So when someone says there's a tornado warning, it would cause
there
a little
not
bit
a
of
tornado
panic
warning.
And a little
there's
bit
no
of worry.
There's no panic. They didn't even react to it.
Who didn't react to it?
Evan and Tiki.
Yes, we did.
No,
we discussed it for like a minute.
You were there? They didn't even
of course
do
I,
it.
If you didn't know I was there, then yeah, then you certainly weren't paying attention. This is where you needed to step in as the glue, as the weather guy, and you needed to give not only the three of us out there, but our great audience, our great listeners, the facts, the information, the truth. And the truth is, there was no tornado. There was no tornado warning, and it was just Sean trying to rain on the Knick parade because he's a big fat baby. That's what it sounds like to me now. So why didn't you step up and say anything?
It's not my place.
What do you mean it's not your place?
That wasn't my report. I am never going to...
What do you mean? You didn't give a report.
I am never going to get on another meteorologist report.
Sean's not a meteorologist. He's barely even a sports talk host. So he's not... What do you think
he is?
I'm
never going to do
that. What do you think, he's Willard Scott?
I'm a foxhole guy.
You're not a foxhole guy. You were asleep
at
the
wheel. He's not Sam Champion. He's not Lonnie Quinn.
He had no information.
Those are local meteorologists.
I understand who they are. Thank you for letting
us know. I don't know if Sam does it. Lonnie still does.
Okay. Where
Nick
were you?
Gregory Fox.
Can you please, next time when someone mentions a tornado during a Knick parade, if you have information that counters that, that can cut through the lie there, cut through the BS, assuming it was, because I don't know either way. I didn't look at the weather. So I'm assuming, I'm all over the place. I thought it was you fear-mongering. Now I think it might be Sean just talking out of his rear end. Bottom line is, nobody knows and will never know because you can't go back in time to see what the weather was if there actually was a warning. But two things I know are usually true. Sean makes stuff up, and you are asleep half the time. So really, it's the irresistible force meets the immovable object. And I didn't want a tornado during my parade!
There wasn't...
Then why didn't you say anything?
I didn't say anything.
That's exactly!
This isn't that big of a deal. I gotta be honest with you. And I was right.
It's just,
it rained.
It
rained, I was right.
Yeah.
And you were wrong.
No. It's just another chapter in this never-ending story, and unfortunately there's no flying dogs in this one or princesses, in this never-ending story of your incompetence and your inability to make a statement and make an impact here, because you could have stepped up there and Evan would have loved it. He would have had you on the air for 10 minutes. You would have made Sean look bad. Evan wakes up every single day of his life trying to make Sean look bad, and you had an opportunity to do that. And what were you doing back here?
Playing spots.
Eating Fruit Loops! Playing spots. We were on the air at the time. We're
playing
past.
Fruit Loops.
Eating Fruit Loops. We are.
No one eats Fruit Loops anymore. Those are awful. That's an awful cereal. Give me Golden Grahams, Smacks, Lucky Charms, Frosted Flakes.
I'm
you
sorry.
Know great.
I'm sorry. You're here.
Corn Pops and Kix.
We've completely blown past the break.
Remember Kix?
I no longer want to speak
to you. The orange box with the little kid on
it. It's bad enough that I have to stare at you for the next hour. I certainly don't want to speak to you anymore.
888-808-1019 if you want to talk to me about old cereals.
Yeah, I've had it up to here with you.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.